Welcome back to Upstream, and thanks for joining us. Today, we get to talk about how to process our problems, whether or not we are actually ready for resolution, couples that are living together before they're married, and what did Jesus actually do on Easter Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Hello, and welcome to Upstream. We're so glad that you're joining us for our weekly conversation about the message and God's Word. Today, mixing up a little bit, I get to sit in the facilitator spot, and over here we have Pastor Chet Lowe.
Still in my same old spot.
Still in the same spot. We have a different person over here. Miss Allison Helby is joining us today, so you get to be a part of our conversation.
You've
been there before, but I don't know if we've ever done this arrangement, so it'll be fun to do that.
Here we are.
Yeah.
We're going to, like we do always, review the teaching, have some practical discussion about the points that were made, and then answer some faith questions. A little bit different today, maybe a little bit shorter to kind of get us back in the swing of things as we come back to Upstream. I want to remind you, as always, Upstream is available every Thursday at 4 o'clock. It's on our app, it's on the website, and if you do have any questions, you can email us at connect@coasthillschurch.org or text us at 949-301-7300. How'd I do? Did I get it all?
So good.
You sound like the Disney World announcer.
Yes.
949-301-7300.
Thank you for riding the monorail. You're now in Tomorrowland. Let me pray for us and we will jump in. Well, God, we thank you for the chance to have discussion. We thank you for those that are listening now and watching. And God, we ask that you just minister to them. Would you speak to them through this discussion and conversation? We thank you for your word, for the Holy Spirit in each of us to understand it and to illuminate our minds and our eyes and what you want us to teach to us. And God, we ask that you be with us now. Father, we look to you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, we were at the end of Acts chapter 15 and the beginning of Acts chapter 16, and we spent a little time really looking at Paul's life in which he had maybe a disagreement, conflict, problem in one section and then handled it well in the next section. But really, we focused on a conversation around problems and conflict and how do we deal with those. You're smiling at me and I'm not sure why.
No, I am smiling because someone from the body, it was so funny. So someone from the body saw that I started with Acts chapter 16 and they said to themselves, oh, they didn't tell him that he didn't finish all of Acts chapter 15, right? So they were feeling really bad for me that I overlooked that portion. By the end of the message, they said to me, then I said to myself, oh, poor me. I wish he would have forgotten.
We did get an Upstream text that said, he skipped that section. And then they said, wait. Sorry, I was too fast.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Tell us a little bit, just from your perspective, you gave us the contrast of that. You did that on purpose. It wasn't by mistake. You didn't mess it up. Mm. Tell us the reason.
Because I think it's important to see the humanity of Paul. Mm. Sometimes I think the pictures of him with a halo makes him perfect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of theologians will say that, and the church commended, but yet it's not clear if that's referring to both Barnabas and Paul or just to Paul because it's after his name. Hmm. And so the church watched this, and I think it was important that we saw as the church this confusion that happened between the two of them and Paul's growth by the end of his life. Send John Mark to me for his useful. I just think it's important because, one, it makes him human, it makes him relatable, and it makes him someone I can be, yeah. I can change as well. And the truth is, problems are going to come in our life. How we handle them, and I made a very emphatic statement. I said, listen, let me give you a secret that you can never have a problem again. It's up to you. And that really is true. Problems may be around us, but it doesn't have to be a problem with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Allison? What did you think about just the way the sermon planned out?
I mean, I loved that because it's so real to life, right? Paul is a human who's mm-hmm. growing
right.
and he's in his sanctification process. So I think that applies to all of us. I also loved the part when you were talking about John Mark, I think also another true to life story of someone who quit and then grew as well. alongside someone who we look up to. John Mark, I think we would say in the beginning, he's not exemplary. Mm-hmm. And he grew as well. So we get to grow alongside our leaders. And I think his story is so encouraging.
Yeah. And let's remember, John Mark also was with Peter. Mm-hmm. He wrote the book of Mark for Peter. Mm-hmm. He became a very versatile tool, from messenger to writer to communicator to brought documents. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he became a very versatile tool. Thank God Barnabas didn't give up on him. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, be willing to take a risk on people.
Yeah.
You know, even beyond their failures. Mm-hmm. If love really covers a multitude of sins, you know, now have discernment. Don't throw your pearls to swine. There is, you know, that balance there. But at the same time, make sure that you're like a Barnabas. You're willing to take a risk.
Yeah. Jesus did that with all the disciples. And we see that pay off in some great ways as he takes a risk with fishermen and tax collectors and all sorts of guys. So we really walked through three pieces to the sermon: process the problem, prepare for resolution, and then purpose to grow. Talk a little bit more about those, and which maybe all of them were significant, but which one do you think was one that maybe we need to focus on as a body?
Yeah, I would say Colossians 3, 12 through 17. I really want to encourage the body to look at the life strategies that Paul developed by the Holy Spirit to put him in a different place. Mm. And it all started with the foundation of humility. And then there were five things that we discussed in there. Now, 9 o'clock missed it. So make sure that you listen to 11 o'clock to get the last two. But at the same time, I think studying Colossians 3, 12 through 17, having the foundation of humility, putting those precepts into praxis, I think it's going to change our perspectives and views, and we could live problem free. Mm.
Yeah, we're reviewing those on 1038 as well, so they can go back and read those and take some time to look at those. I thought it was just really great, the prepare for resolution. I think sometimes people hold on to their problems like they don't want to forgive people, but you really encouraged us to do that.
Well, you know, Adam, I think bitterness and resentment are powerful emotions. They can actually empower you to do great things. It's deceptive because it ends up hurting you and destroying you. But bitterness and resentment are very powerful. Anger is a very powerful emotion. And you can operate and feed off of bitterness and resentment for a very, very long time. But it hurts you. Bitterness defiles many, and you're one of those many that it defiles. Mm. And so Jesus is protecting us by giving us life strategies to move away from anger, bitterness, and resentment, and to move into humility and love.
Mm, good. What about you, Allison? Which of the 3 points, or maybe the 5 life strategies from Colossians, kind of stuck out to you?
I mean, I think for me too, the prepare for resolution. I think, like you were saying, Pastor Chet, I don't often want resolution. And so it's like, I don't even have to go to the 5 and the grow. I just need to start with, do I want this? And if so, what is my motivator behind wanting it? And I think I've learned a lot in the last couple of years being in community and being forced to resolve. What is motivating me to resolve? And it's God's glory.
Yeah.
Gets me over myself.
And I think sometimes we don't want to resolve because we don't want to confront the person, mm-hmm. and we may not like the resolution.
Right.
You know, like I said, some resolutions aren't great. Mm-hmm. You may have to fire the person because that's the best resolution for them. Mm-hmm. And there's a great question that we're getting to, so I almost gave it away, and I'm going to hold out.
Well,
you're the facilitator.
I'm going to let you facilitate. Let me go jump to the question, because we do get some good ones. How do I process my problems? Would I start with the questions you asked throughout the teaching? Some examples. What is the root of my problem? Why does this bother so much? Am I the one that is wrong? How do I start that process?
Yeah, I love the question, why am I having a $1,000 response to a dollar question? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it kind of sums up I am having an exponential response to something that doesn't need the nth degree. And that should start me asking questions. And I think the key is process the problem. There's a scene in the Song of Solomon where the guy and the girl get into this argument and he walks away. He's wise enough to walk away from the problem. Now, they don't let the sun go down in their anger. Mm. She knows he's at the flower field Yeah. And when she goes to him, he turns around, he's got flowers in his hands. So giving flowers is biblical, right?
There you go.
So, and that's good, husbands. I hope you heard that.
There you go.
But the idea is that processing, it actually gives you time to not live in the emotion, but process the emotion. Mm. And so swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry or slow to wrath. We've got 2 ears, 1 mouth, you know, twice as much time listening to get understanding than talking to give our point of view.
Yeah.
I think for me too, getting alone, and even if that's, I'm going to walk to the bathroom for a second.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pray and I'm going to do Psalm 139 and go, God, show me what's wrong with me. Because yeah. I cannot go into the conversation thinking I'm right. It will get nowhere.
Yeah, anger produces a biological response mm-hmm. of fight or flight. And it takes about 20 minutes for those hormones to get through you. Mm-hmm. So I've always said, let 20 minutes pass, go back yep. into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know even with having young kids, right? You can see that mm-hmm. so evidently yeah. in them. And they go, hey, let's just take
and it's
deep.
Amazing how those endomorphins that get shot off in your yeah. body, it's like an injection.
Yeah. Energy, yeah, exactly.
And then it calms itself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
I love that. Processing starts with me first. That's good. Another question. What do I do if the other person is not prepared for resolution? So this is, I think, the question you want to get to earlier.
Yeah. I want to take us directly to the cross. And Jesus is on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He's in the place of forgiveness despite the fact that they don't want resolution. And I think if we could follow that example, that we live ready to forgive. Mm. And so the point was prepare for resolution. It's living in the expectation that because I'm around people, there will be problems.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have to enter into the problem nor engage the problem. My responsibility is to live in the place of forgiveness. And I'm sorry, but the way my brain thinks, I will imagine the person to be a 95-year-old blind woman trying to cross I-5.
And then you're ready to
I might be upset that this blind woman is trying to cross I-5, but I'm not going to hit her. Hmm. I'm going to stop the car and help this lady. And I think what it does for me is creates compassion. They may be blind to their problem. They may not see it. They may have lived in this for so long that it's just their life and experience. And I don't know why she feels she needs to get to mm-hmm. the other side of the interstate, but maybe if I took the time to ask her, I could help her find a different way.
Yeah.
And I think that process in my mind helps me get to a better place instead of I'm just going to knock this old lady down.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good.
I've heard you say also that forgiveness often is not just for the person receiving forgiveness, but the one extending forgiveness, going back to the bitterness mm-hmm. and anger that lives inside of us.
It protects us. You know, Allison, you've had some things in your life that mm-hmm. justifiably you could be bitter about, mm-hmm. right? There's things that have gone on. There's things that in my life and in your life. Has forgiveness benefited you?
Yes. And that's what I was going to say in answer to this question. Don't give up on doing it God's way. I think so many times in dealing with conflict, we look at what it says in the Bible. We look at Matthew 18. We look at don't slander. We look at forgive, pray for those who hurt you. And when they still aren't ready for resolution, it feels like there has to be another way. Hmm. And committing before they even come, and before you even enter the process, no matter what happens, I'm going to do it God's way. He's going to then help me and give me peace, regardless of what they choose to do on the other side.
Yeah, and remember the daily prayer. Mm-hmm. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So you may have to forgive them daily
yeah.
till you get there.
Yeah.
You know, there was someone who hurt someone in my family mm-hmm. years ago, and they had stopped coming to the church. And one day I was sitting in one row, mm. they sat behind me and started to sing. Mm. And it was almost like I could feel their breath on my neck. And I was amazed. Mm. I thought I had come to a place of forgiveness. I thought I had come to a place of, and all of a sudden the anger
yeah.
spurred up in me again.
Yeah.
And I realized at that moment, I'm not at a place of forgiveness mm-hmm. that I thought I was. I was just, absence made me forget. Mm-hmm. I forgot the saying. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I realized it, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And I just almost had to repeat it, chant it mm-hmm. to myself to get back into the place of forgiveness.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Like, what do you do when you go to that person, you think you're ready to forgive, but then in the midst of the conversation, all the emotions get stirred back up in you. And then you're like, okay, now I need to process some more and walk. I mean, what do you do with that in that place?
Yeah, I think you were about to give the answer. It's realizing where I'm, being honest with where I'm at. I'm not at a great place right now. And I think it's asking for permission. Hey, we need to take a break. We're not getting anywhere. Let's both go away for just a period of time and come back together and process this.
And I've said out loud in that moment, I commit to the end of this process in as far as it depends
really
on me,
good.
Resolution. Right now, even though I feel this way and I'm being honest, I'm not ready, I commit I will walk down this road with you.
Yeah, and like, come on, you're married, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure you and Jen, like Andre and I, have had some things that where you will say to someone, I'm committed to this. Yeah. Our marriage says we're committed, mm-hmm. right? So I may not say it, but I love what you're saying, mm-hmm. Allison, because I think that reaffirms mm-hmm. the marriage that we're in. But there's a lot of spouses that are probably listening going, I got a problem with my spouse mm-hmm. right now, my husband or my wife or this, that, the other. And I really like what you said, Allison. I'm committed to this. Mm-hmm. I'm committed to see this through and to resolution.
Yeah, I think it takes that heart of commitment because I think there...
And communicating that.
Yeah, saying that because I think there's been moments, right? I think of the verse, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Mm-hmm. In a marriage relationship, I'll just be honest, right? Jen and I, it's gotten late to a conversation going, okay, we need to pause for a moment. Maybe let the sun go down, mm-hmm. but we're going to revisit that in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm... maybe I need to look at that verse again, but but I think to
that
the point,
that was a pastoral confession.
Yeah,
that
but
was.
I think to that point, right? Going, okay, we need to pause on this.
Great point.
The idea is to stay committed, like you said, to continue to process through it. Great. Let's look at some of these assorted questions, kind of these different faith questions that have to do with maybe bigger than just the problems or conflict in our life. But let's look at this. I have a lot of friends, Christian and not, who lived together before marriage. I've always wondered if they wanted to get married, would the church marry them? How are they counseled? And how can I, as a friend, help? Good one.
This is a great question, and it is a prevalent issue in our culture. So I think it's important to recognize and I love the way this, Christians and not. Mm-hmm. There is one way to deal with the not, and there's another way to deal with the Christian. Both of them are shrouded with love.
Yeah.
And... I have said in my history, premarital sex is rebellion. It has intrigue. It's the bait on the hook, but it is rebellion. And what I'm investing into my relationship is rebellion. When I get married, because I've invested rebellion as my foundation, I reap rebellion in my marriage. So that looks like a disrespectful wife and an unloving husband. It's the same rebellion. It just looks different. Period.
Mm-hmm.
What I've sowed, I'm reaping. And so I always will communicate that truth to people. But I don't extradite. I don't kick out. I love them with truth. And I think speaking the truth with love is so vital in ministering this point because they're living deceived. And truth is the only thing that sets people free. And so communicating truth and the impact of deceitfulness, like, hey, disrespect and an unloving husband, right? Communicating the truth of what living in deception can cause is just as important.
Yeah.
And I think, too, teaching the why of God's beautiful plan for marriage. Mm-hmm. So many times I'm talking to young adults and I'm walking through Genesis 1 or Ephesians 5 or 1 Corinthians 7, and they go, that's beautiful. And they're like, is this why we're not supposed to sleep together before we get? Yeah. You're like, yes, but all they hear is that's bad. And they don't know why, but teaching the, if doctrinally they can understand why God has created it this way, their behavior can follow that. But if they don't understand that.
So the answer, one of the questions on there, I think, Adam, was if they want to get married, would I do it? Yes, I would definitely do a couple that has decided we want to make it right with God. Mm-hmm. And no, I won't. And I think the determination is the heart.
Yeah.
Are you willing to go God's way and put that into practice before you get married? Mm-hmm. And I have asked a couple to, like, I've had a couple that had children and they were living in the home, living together, mm-hmm. to communicate to their children, hey, we're going to now do it God's way. Mm-hmm. So boyfriend is going, fiance is going to move out of my room, mm-hmm. move into this room, or move with a friend. And I know this seems like it's only 5 days or it's only 30 days, but we want to do this right before God. And I think it's important because some people will say, well, it better be at least 6 months. And that, you know, it was 40 days and Peter was restored, you know, that we know scripturally, you know, but Jesus was loving on him prior to what's written in John.
Well, he tells the thief on the cross that he's going to be in paradise, right?
Right. But it's the heart. Yeah. So I've had a couple walk out of my office, and I'll never forget it. They're now married, and the wife said to me, "I wanted to burn you with oil." That's what she said when I said, "I feel like you guys need to move out." She came back 3 days later, repentant, and said, "I can't believe my attitude showed me how much against God I was being." And they separated rooms for 30 days. And they were faithful.
Yeah.
And they've been married 20 years now.
That's cool.
I mean, I've got 3 kids, and they love Jesus.
Yeah.
So I just think the answer is yes and no. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the heart.
Yeah. I think of what you guys both said, the vision and the picture that God has for them.
Yeah.
Not, we've said this a couple times, right? Christians are known for what they stand against rather than what they stand for. And I think giving that vision of God's beautiful plan.
Yeah. I'm not the moral police. I'm a moral agent. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guide you to truth. It's your choice.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let your choice dictate my choice. I'm going to watch you go towards the Lord. And then based on your response to the Lord, then I can make my decision. Mm-hmm. So just because you've got a date and just because you have an agenda doesn't mean I'm forced to go your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. Well, let's jump into this last question. In Mark 14:25, is Jesus explaining he will be cut off from the vine, fellowship with God, those 3 days before he rose? Does this mean he went to hell for 3 days? And does this explain how he became sin? I never really understood how Jesus, who knew no sin, could become sin. Also, can you explain 1 Peter 3:19 for me? So there's a lot in there for our last question, but maybe we could look at a couple of those references specifically.
Why don't you read the Mark chapter 14 one, Bob?
And talk through it really quick. So it says this in Mark chapter 14, verse 25. It says, Jesus is with his disciples and he says, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." So a little bit different language there than the question, because the person seems like they're saying he'll be cut off drinking the cup. Help us maybe understand that.
Yeah. So do you remember, Lord, Father, let this cup pass?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that pastors have purpose to communicate what cup was he talking about. It couldn't have been the cross. Mm-hmm. He had told the disciples 3 times, "I'm going to die."
Mm-hmm.
He had never been separated from his Father for an eternity. Mm-hmm. And why have you forsaken me? The anguish of the God-man on the cross for being separated as he took on the sins of the world. So do you remember when the lamb the priest would lay the hands on the lamb mm-hmm. and they would, you know, receive the sins. And it wasn't that the goat was a sinner.
Yeah. Right.
It was just the symbolic sign of Christ mm-hmm. that the sin of the world would be laid upon him. That's why the cross was, it wasn't that no one else had been crucified mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. No one had the sins of the world placed upon them.
Yeah.
That was the weight of the cross. That caused the Father to turn and separate.
Mm.
Now, Peter knows what happened in hell. Mm. So he's with Jesus for 40 days, and he tells us that Jesus preached. And so the first, I'm going to read the first Peter 3:19, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Peter learned that from Jesus the 40 days after the resurrection. We know what Jesus did. He preached to the spirits. I'm Jesus, and I've conquered hell. So he wasn't in sin in hell. Mm. He's ministering.
Yeah.
He's communicating, and he is bringing those in Abraham's bosom, Luke chapter 16, to be in paradise with him. And he's communicating to those that rejected him, to the devil and his angels, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
He's ministering. He's preaching. It's not as, and we know that from Ephesians 4. Mm-hmm. He descended so he could ascend mm-hmm. like the first century world and give gifts.
There you go. A lot in there.
Yeah. Nothing so. To add.
I'm excited to hear. We talked about that a little bit on Easter Saturday when we did our Saturday mm-hmm. night service on Easter, just thinking about that. We talk about Good Friday a lot and Easter Sunday, but Jesus is doing a lot on Saturdays, mm-hmm. not just laying down in the tomb and hanging out. He's doing a lot.
A full-on ministry day. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same in heaven as he is on earth as he was in hell. Mm-hmm. He was ministering the word of God. There and he was go. Preaching to the spirits. Hey, sorry, you were wrong.
Yep. There you go. Good. Well, I'm definitely thankful that he took on our sin so that we could be delivered, so that we could be given that eternal life and that relationship with him, so we could continue to process our problems. Thanks for joining us here on Upstream. We're glad that you guys were a part of it. As always, it comes out on Thursdays at 4:00 on the app or the website. And if you have any questions, text us or email us, and we'd love to answer them for you. Thanks for joining us.